Hey, everyone. What you're about to hear is kind of a special presentation of a couple of series that Mike and I have available through our Patreon.
On it, we've got two things going. One with Mythified, where Doug tells a myth and we explore it. And another about Dreamscapes, where I walk you through how to work with your dreams.
We thought we'd make a couple of these episodes available to everyone, just to give you a little taste. They're about 20 minutes. We don't get as, you know, kind of tangential and deep into stuff as we do on the regular podcast, but they are kind of fun to listen to. And we'd love to have you come on over to the Patreon and hear more.
I mean, full disclosure, they're some of my favorite things we've ever done together, Doug. And we've done a lot of fun things together. I'm already loving these.
I love them. Dreamscapes and Mythified, two little mini series that we're doing together.
So head over to Flavor Country and check them out.
Bye. Enjoy.
yeah, go.
Ba-ba-ba-ba. Welcome to Flavor Country.
Brought to you by Mormons on Mushrooms.
So thanks for subscribing to our Patreon.
If you're here, that means the corridors of heaven have hushed with silence as they echo your name.
You are among God's select children. That's not too Mormon, is it? Is that fine? That's Mormons on Mushrooms.
It's based on a Mormon proverb, dude. It's totally Mormon. Of course it is. It's meant to be.
That's what I'm saying. It's not too Mormon, is it? It's good, right? Yeah. All right. Everything you are about to hear is total bullshit.
Consider this every and all trigger warnings you ever needed.
We're about to talk about dreams,
folklore,
mythology,
and the stories we tell ourselves.
And none of it should be taken seriously.
That's right. Flavor Country is for
entertainment purposes only.
Should you feel anything, and we mean anything, you feel anything at all, please consult a therapist,
counselor,
or physician before you listen to this podcast. Again, welcome to Flavor Country.
Buckle up.
Let's ride.
Let's ride. Do we do one more take, or is that pretty good?
That seemed amazing to me. Okay, so I'm pretty excited about sort of having a few episodes or maybe like a series of storytelling, right? Because for me, my favorite art form is storytelling, both what I like to do and what I like to experience. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like for me, reading a book is storytelling. Going and listening to a lecture is you know, the best speakers tell the best stories, right? Yeah. Obviously, movies are just who's good at telling a story, right? And obviously, there's visual things, but at the core of it, like our ancestors, like we used to just sit around fires and look up at the stars and tell stories. And that's how we entertained one another. That's how we learned. That's how we remembered, kept things in our memories. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And not only just entertained, but there is something with myth and story that speaks to archetypal consciousness better than anything else can. Like you could have a list and try to explain reality. I mean, you think of it in a way of like these myths and stories. We woke up in this body one day on this planet, and why the fuck are we here? And that's what I think myths and stories can give us access to.
Well, and you're hitting on one of my favorite things about like in folklore and in mythology. The thing that makes the gods so relatable or accessible is that instead of the gods being this impossible, distant thing that we can never even fathom being like, because they're just so mysterious and deep and perfect. Like in a lot of folklore and a lot of mythology, the gods are simply representation of human weakness, human foibles, human, like the tendency to be human, right?
Yeah.
Like Egyptian gods, Norse gods, Greek gods, Roman gods, they're fucking jealous and petulant children all the time. They're fucking around. They are more human than Buck Rogers space Jesus, who's like taking messages on floating platforms from Elohim And then he passes, you know, it's a game of telephone where he passes the message on to Peter, James, and John. And then Peter, James, and John go pass the message on to Adam and Eve. And then weirdly, we're supposed to be the temple people, but also we're the Adam and Eve characters. It's like this fucking worst game of telephone ever. It's like, can't God just can't we just learn from stories? Like, can't God just tell us stories, please?
Yeah.
Well, and the types of stories that people tell says a lot about them. I was even thinking of it. So I'm writing about Artemis right now.
Oh, I'm going to talk about Artemis today. Yeah.
Oh, dude, this is perfect. Yeah. So, and Artemis represents that wild, untamed, virginal space, the wilderness within us, right? And yep. So to the Greeks, that was like personified through a virginal enchanted forest, they did have savage wild beasts in that forest. But you also had like this beautiful virginal huntress that was there, like guarding or keeping that ecosystem alive.
Yeah.
And you also had, she was dancing with nymphs and she had company in that forest.
Oh yeah.
Contrast that with the dark, scary forest that you hear in the Christian, like fairy tales, like in Western Europe where Christianity reigned, the woods were not this in kind of enchanted, wild, savage realm. They were the realm of witches and the dark and the scary. And so how civilizations tell their myths says a lot about the psyche of the civilization.
Too. Dude, that's so dead on. Man, I honestly,
I'm so excited already.
Well, I think this should be like the intro to all of these things, because like one of the things that you and I tell stories a lot on podcasts, and I think it's important for people to know the origin of the stories that we tell when it comes to this kind of thing. That's one of the beauties of folklore and mythology, mm-hmm. is that, yeah, I took a bunch of classes in college about, you know, mythology and comparative religion and stuff like that. So I'm drawing on that. I'm drawing on books that I've read. I'm drawing on fucking depictions in video games and movies and that kind of stuff. But the best thing about mythology is also I can fill in the blanks however the hell I want. I can make up the Doug version of Greek mythology and it's totally plays. Like, it's totally fine, because all this shit, like, that's why it's like hard to be, you know, it's like hard to understand. It's like, wait, so like Loki's a male deity that's a trickster god, and then he also gave birth to, you know, like Fenrir, like he gave birth to a wolf who then was responsible for like killing Loki's father Odin. Like the thing about myth is that it's hard to keep track of who does what and when, why and when, and who's Zeus's daughters versus lovers versus human rape victims, because it's just all made up. Like, you can just make it up. So I'm gonna, like, when I tell stories, I'm telling the story of Doug. Do you know what I mean?
Myths according to Doug.
It has,
but nothing, there's nothing more archetypal than that. I mean, that's what happened. Is like, you picture a campfire, you know, tens of thousands of years ago, and you would have a storyteller, someone recounting a story around a fire, and it might be it might be a dream that person had, or it might be like the whisperings of a myth from a different tribe that now has been like reintegrated, and it's coming through you. So it becomes your version of it. And so sign me up.
Sitting around that campfire, you know, 12,000 years ago, there wasn't some dork that goes, citation needed. It's a little bit different than the last time you told the same story. It's like, who fucking cares? The story changes when I change. Like,
well, and I, that is also the, you know, personification of the psyche, and that it is changing. I mean, that moment we talk about, like, you can't grasp the present moment. As soon as you try to grasp it, it's already moved on. And so, and even a memory, you recount something that happened to you as a child. Every time you recount that story and pick up that memory, you're changing it in some way and retelling it in a different way.
That's right. So the stories that we're going to tell on this thing are going to be the first time they are told as this is going to be the first time they're told this way. And the next time you and I tell these stories, it's going to be a little bit different. You know what I mean?
Love it. Yeah. So what story are we telling today?
I mean, you mentioned Artemis, and it's funny because when we were talking about some of these things, I was kind of thinking about the twins. I like, I like, I'm a Gemini, and so the divine twins, you know, Artemis and Apollo, they love each other. They're really, you know, they look out for each other. They got each other's backs, but also they have like this terrible competition, and they fucking hate each other, and they try to ruin each other's lives and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So like, what I was thinking about today, well, actually, I was thinking about it last night because my kids and I were looking at the constellations, mm-hmm. and sure enough, we're looking up and there's the Big Dipper, you know, Ursa Major, and we're looking up and there's Orion. And so I'm telling my kids, so these are the stories I tell my kids, you know what I'm saying? That's what this comes down to. So if you hung out with Artemis, there was a high likelihood that you were going to be turned into a constellation. Right? That's like her thing. Like she takes this oath of virginity. I don't know exactly what that means, because she seemed like she was kind of maybe, you know, she always had a group of like you said, Mike, she liked to hang out with daughters of the river, like nymphs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or mountain daughters. Like she liked to go out and hunt and be with the gals. So I don't know what exactly that means. I don't know exactly how we define her virginity, but she did take an oath of virginity, and she asked Zeus, like, listen, you know, help me keep my oath. You're my dad. And Zeus's form, you know, the funny thing about Zeus is that he's a lot like Joseph Smith in that my man will make up anything for a piece to break him off a piece. He will make up anything, right? The only difference between Zeus and Joseph Smith is that Joseph Smith had a doctor to perform abortions for him. Zeus did not. So Zeus just ends up with all these kids, and he doesn't pay any kind of child support, and he doesn't really like recognize them. So like Zeus's form of child support is like every once in a while he'll grant a favor to one of his offspring if they ask him, right? That's kind of like what Zeus does for, oh, well, you know, I'm kind of a deadbeat dad, but sure, I'll help you protect your virginity. He also isn't very good about keeping those things either. So Artemis is out. She's a huntress. She's in, like you said, she's in the wild enchanted woods. Like that's where she exists. And she represents that unclaimed wild virginal, part of each of us. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Zeus, like a fucking dick, he starts noticing that Artemis and Callisto are getting kind of close. Like Callisto's also a great hunter, and Artemis like, dude, this girl is good at hunting. Like I like hanging with her. But Zeus is like, but Callisto is banging and I wants to fuck. So because he has no morals or ethics, he made this whole deal with Artemis. Like, listen, you know, I'll help you protect your virginity. So he's like, well, there's one good way for me to get with Callisto, and that is, I'm going to take on the form of Artemis and I'm going to go down and chill with Callisto. So he goes down there and it's Zeus as Artemis hanging out with Callisto. They start cuddling. They start getting a little bit close. And Callisto's like, oh, damn, it's happening. What? I'm so excited about this. I think we're going to fuck. And so then Zeus transforms into Zeus just enough to do the deal. Like, so Zeus stays Artemis, except for he Zeus's up his penis. Like he gets his penis going and they fuck. And of course, Callisto gets pregnant because everything Zeus touches gets pregnant. Right. And so now,
like you said, Zeus is up his penis.
Yeah. He Zeus's up his penis. Right.
Yeah. So, he doesn't have to wear a dildo or anything, like a strap on or anything.
No. He just Zeus's it up, man. Yeah. And so, he, of course, disappears and Callisto figures it out. She's like, oh, I don't think Artemis has a penis. And oh, by the way, I'm pregnant from my friend Artemis, who swore an oath of virginity. So now I don't know what I'm going to do. So she kind of tries to keep her pregnancy from Artemis. But Artemis is like, OK, I know what happened. Certainly it's obvious that my father, Zeus, appeared to you in the form of me, Artemis, and you guys had sex.
Like everyone just knows it's Zeus. Oh, fucking Zeus.
That's always Zeus. It's like, oh, my best friend's pregnant. Must have been Zeus. Must have been Zeus pretending to be me and got her pregnant. Oh, Artemis is like, fuck you, Callisto. I thought you were the one. I thought you were my huntress queen for life. Instead, I'm going to turn you into a bear. And you're going to have to be a bear until you die. But when you do die, I am going to put you up in the stars to hang out with me up forever. And so, sure enough, Callisto is turned into a bear. She dies a bear and is put into the stars as Ursa Major. You can look up and you can see the Big Dipper, and that's representative of, you know, when you're with your kids and you look up in the stars and you see the Big Dipper, just remember that is representative of the time that Zeus pretended to be his daughter so he could fuck his daughter's best friend and impregnate her. And his daughter responded by cursing her best friend into becoming a bear until she died and was put up in the stars.
It's a perfect opportunity to give your children the facts of life.
Don't you want to talk to your children about how the birds and the bees work? Isn't this the best way?
I mean, we could, like you say, it combines so many different elements. One, consent. Yeah. And, you know, like what we were talking about, strap-ons and how Zeus doesn't need one. And then how it works, the mechanics of both female to female sex and then male and female. It gives you so many opportunities. And also explaining the big bear in the sky.
I think just instead of saying, oh, that's the Big Dipper, I think it's a good opportunity for you to explain gender identity, sexual orientation, how people can be fluid, how people sometimes you might think that they're female, but they actually have a Zeus dick, and it's a whole thing, right? It's just about acceptance. Like, okay, let's take it as it comes, I say.
I've never been so fascinated by myth than when Doug tells it. I'm loving this. Is that the story we're going to tell? Okay.
I mean, I've got five.
You know, we hinted earlier about that wildness that Artemis represents. And you might think, you know, in our like modern, like moralistic kind of way of working, we could be very much like, you know, we tend to bring our morality to myths. Mm. And it's personifying a very amoral type of reality that we, you know, if myths are the psyche or the world personified, there's sometimes the world just doesn't have the morality that we would like to think it does sometimes, right? Or we hope it would. Yeah. And so we could be like, you know, Artemis, it wasn't Callisto's fault. Like, why are you punishing her? You know, obviously she was tricked. But there is that element of keeping that space of those woods pure, that they're only your spot. And it doesn't really matter if someone was good intentioned or what happens if they are invading that sacred space of yours. You need to set those boundaries and like guard that space. And I was thinking, it's so cool that you bring up this myth. One, that this is what I've been writing about is Artemis. And two, I had this experience last night where, you know, one of my first memories was when my mom told me that, or I asked my mom the question of, can God read my thoughts? And she said, yes, of course, God can read your thoughts. And I'm like, and so from that moment on, there was no space within me that God had not penetrated. So that God, Zeus, or like, not Zeus, but Jehovah had penetrated my virginal forest at that point. And, you know, we say that kind of tongue in cheek and funny, but it's true in the sense that like, now if I had like a really horrible, awful thought, which comes to everyone, now I'm wondering, oh, wow, is it thought crime? Did I just sin against God because I had an impure thought? Those thoughts just can't be my own. And so I think there's something about the spirit of Artemis is connecting to your inner wild and realizing it can be just yours and for no one else.
Yeah, man. Artemis is a badass. I honestly, like, there's a lot of poorly behaved gods and demigods and all that kind of stuff. But Artemis is, I mean, and she has her, I mean, obviously she turned her best friend into a bear and kind of sucks, but Artemis is a badass because she does represent that there's something to that wild feminine too, right? There's something about the wild female that we've kind of blotted out. I mean, even in the stories that we tell, we are trying to take away the power of females. So like the story I just told, you know, Callisto is kind of just going along with, like, she wants to get some girl on girl action with her homegirl Artemis and kind of gets tricked by Zeus into taking one for the team, like to take into like getting impregnated. even the Christian myth, the Christian story of God impregnating Mary. Mary is told about it after the whole thing happens. Like Mary is unaware too. Like, so God kind of is a rapist, no matter what culture or myth or religious belief that you have. There has to always be in this, under the system that we exist in right now, there has to be men behaving badly and taking away agency from women to kind of blot out that Lilith, to blot out that Artemis, to blot out that powerful, wild, independent, free feminine. Do you know what I mean? And it's
yeah, like,
fuck this.
Well, and when
we got to tell more of these stories to own up.
Exactly. So in reconnecting with that wild, building a relationship to that wild spot within you, now it's no longer a witch in a dark forest. You know, we vilified that wild feminine and made them witches and demons and like this Christianized dualistic world. And so I think that's one of the powers of like Greek mythology too, is that there isn't this shadow. Everything's just on display. And there's not the shadowy elements that we were raised with in Christianity.
God damn, dude. It's so true. Well, and those shadows exist beyond our Christianity.
Yeah.
Those shadows are part of, those shadows are part of horny men behaving badly, dude. And I hate to besmirch my entire fucking gender, but like, I'm part of the problem too. Like give us some incentive and we'll do some cool shit, man. Like we will do cool shit, but also, that same incentive is like the most dangerous thing in the world. And we gotta be better. We gotta be better at not being petulant children. That's my point.
I don't know if there's anything more archetypal than that of like,
Now give it now. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Let's actually come up with an identity. Like, what's the name of the identity that you're going to read this one as?
His name is Cool Joe.
Cool Joe, baby. Here it comes, ladies and gentlemen.
The first name that came to me when you said that was Patrick, but I want to read it as Patrick.
Dude, I'll do it as Patrick. You do it as Cool Joe.
Okay.
You ready?
Maybe you start it, and I'll do the next part.
All right. Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. As a reminder, the very best way to support this podcast is to just head on over to patreon.com/Mormons on Mushrooms.
There you're going to find bonus content, fun episodes, other shit.
Girl, we're talking about shit you have not heard before.
Never. Mankind has never heard these things before. So go on over to Patreon. But we'd also love it if you gave us a review. Just head over to Apple and give us a quick love over there. Quick love. Quickie.
Just a little bit of love on Apple. Listen, if you're listening on Spotify, that's cool too. Put up a 5-star if you liked it. If you didn't, keep your mouth shut.
Just maybe put up a whoa, yo, Flavor Country.
We love Flavor Country. By the way, Mike and I also accept just free pure money, and you can do that at Venmo. Mike, hit him with the deets.
Just put them in our pocket. Just give us some money at Mushmore, M-U-S-H-M-O-R. On Venmo, and we'll use it to buy some kombuchas. Just have a good time.
Mushmor. What up? Peace.
Give a fucking yes.